The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
There's a big difference between cultural sensitivity and cultural capitulation.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. We are going to help give you backbones of steel with hearts of compassion. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. The number to call to interact with the program today or to ask me any question of any kind that relates in any way to The Line of Fire, we'll try to get to calls a little later in the show, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you're able to call in early, then all the more we'll be able to get to your calls a little bit later in the broadcast. News from around the world, the coronation of the king in England. We'll talk about that. Another shooting, another massacre here in America. Talk about that as well. But first, let's talk about this question of cultural capitulation versus cultural sensitivity. When is it right to be sensitive to a culture, sensitive to people's sensitivities, sensitive to history, and say, I won't say certain things, I won't do certain things out of cultural sensitivity? For example, if you ever travel to another country, you might be told, okay, when you walk in the house, you take the shoes off. It's very rude to not take them off. You might be preaching in a certain culture, and when you walk up to the pulpit to speak, you take your shoes off or your sandals off, and that's normal, and you don't dare violate that cultural tradition. There are other things which we say that's just the latest politically correct thing to do. That's just some hypersensitivity, and no, we're not going to go in that direction. When do you draw the line between the two? I want to help you sort that out because by all means, as followers of Jesus, we do not want to offend unnecessarily. We do not want to push people away. We do not want to drive them away. We do not want to be controversial about non-controversial issues because of either our ignorance or our stubbornness. So by all means, where we can be culturally sensitive in order to get our message out so more people can hear it, we should do that. But then there's a capitulation to culture which is contrary to the gospel because it's contrary to truth, or because it's capitulating to silencing, or because it's selling our soul so that we can be popular. And those are very, very different things, and we have to draw really, really clear lines. You know, for example, we have said that if you're a kid in school and you're told to give your preferred gender pronouns, that it's good to not do it. Yeah, I know you don't want to be left out, put out, but it's right to say, I'm sorry, but you're imposing an ideology on me that I don't agree with. You're asking me to do something that's contrary to my belief, that say I could identify contrary to reality. And I'm sorry, I can't do that. Right? There are things that we don't bow down to. There are more and more athletes saying, say, when it comes to a male competing against female, that the female should say, we're not going to compete. We're not going to go along with that. That is cultural capitulation. And when we bow down to those things, increasingly we become a slave to what people think. We become a slave to the latest opinions. We become a slave to the popular culture. Politicians do that. Weak politicians or career politicians will do that. They'll go the way the polls are going as opposed to saying, hey, this is where I stand. This is right. And I'd rather be unelected than be elected by compromise. Right? Pastors can do that. Spiritual leaders can do it. Well, if I speak the truth here, I'm going to offend some of our big givers, so I'm going to hold back. Well, you've lost your very integrity in doing that. On the other hand, there is valid cultural sensitivity. Where do we draw the line? All right, why am I talking about this today? Richard Dreyfuss, famous actor, best known for Jaws, many other movies as well. What is he, about 75 now, I think? He does an interview on Firing Line, PBS's Firing Line with Margaret Hoover, and he's asked a question, as the Oscars have now said, for a film to be considered to be Best Picture, you have to meet certain quotas in hiring for inclusivity and diversity. inclusion and diversity. So, for example, you have to have an X number of people of color or whatever it be, or of a certain ethnicity. And if you're going to have to do that in your staffing and your hiring for a film in order to be considered for Best Picture. So Dreyfuss is asked how he feels about that. Let's listen to his response.
Starting in 2024, films will be required to meet new inclusion standards to be eligible for the Academy Awards for Best Picture. They'll have to have a certain percentage of actors or crew from underrepresented racial and ethnic groups. What do you think of these new inclusion standards for films?
They make me vomit.
Why?
Because this is an art form. It's also a form of commerce, and it makes money, but it's an art. And no one should be telling me, as an artist, that I have to give in to the latest, most current idea of what morality is. And what are we risking? Are we really risking hurting people's feelings? You can't legislate that. And you have to let life be life. And I'm sorry, I don't think that there's a minority or a majority in the country that has to be catered to like that.
Ah, all right. So far, so good. But very clear saying, well, it makes me vomit. Right now, some have said, hey, look, do what you want to do, but it won't be considered for Best Picture. Well, that would be the very thing he's saying, that's restricting art for certain reasons. And look, art can be offensive at times. Art can be extreme at times. Or artistic expressions may stretch certain things to make points, just like comedians might do that very thing. There are comedians who are saying things are so woke. Now, I know in some cultures, woke is a positive word, but in the broader American culture today, it does connote a certain PC mentality. There are many comedians saying that you can't crack jokes anymore because you can offend this one, offend that one, offend this one, as opposed to some of the jokes are meant to be offensive, but in a funny way, and everybody laughs at them, especially if it's your own, coming from your own culture. All right, so the others have said, hey, look, you can still have the cast you want, the main cast, but it's going to be other people within the staffing that you have to meet certain quotas. But again, Dreyfuss is saying, look, what if the people you want to hire were the best people to portray this artistic message that you want to get across in this particular film? What if they don't fit the quota, whatever that quota might be? Now that is restrictive, and now that's just trying to cater to whatever the latest morality is. You can't offend this group, you can't offend that group. All right, so far, I appreciate him saying what he's saying. Part two, let's listen.
You know, Laurence Olivier was the last white actor to play Othello. And he did it in 1965, and he did it in blackface. And he played a black man brilliantly. Am I being told that I will never have a chance to play a black man? Is someone else being told that if they're not Jewish, they shouldn't play The Merchant of Venice?
Mm-hmm.
Are we crazy? Do we not know that art is art? This is so patronizing. It's so thoughtless and treating people like children.
All right, so his point then is, are you going to say then that a white actor can't do a blackface role? Right? What's blackface? You put shoe polish or something other, to cover you. So Al Jolson and the jazz singer famously did that. There are others, there are different examples through film history, and we'll get into the racist elements of that in a moment, all right? But he's saying, look, it's just, here's the best actor, but he's the wrong color, so we'll change his appearance, right? Are you saying then that only a black man could play a black role? A black woman could play a black role? Or are you saying that only a Jew could play a Jewish role? And on and on and on. So we'll come back to the blackface issue in a moment, because here's where it gets murky in terms of, well, wait, you've got art, but then you do have cultural sensitivity where there really are issues that people need to be aware of. And it's not patronizing to say certain things are offensive. All right, you can weigh in, 866-348-7884. Are we getting too sensitive? Or are we too insensitive? But let me back up and say this. Broadly speaking, it would be crazy to say that only a Jew could play the role of a Jew. Only a Southerner could play the role of a Southerner. Only a professor could play the role of a professor. Only a military man could play the role of a general. Who's going to play the role of a thief then in a movie? Oh, yeah, all right, we have a list of thieves that are not in jail right now. Who's going to play the role of a serial killer? Right? Who's going to play the role of an assassin? Do we have any assassins that we can bring on to play the role? Any assassin actors? Obviously, people are acting. They are pretending to be Abe Lincoln. They are pretending to be Cleopatra. They are pretending to be a thief. They are pretending to be a soldier, etc. So we understand that. So his point is, why should it be any different then over the issue of Laurence Olivier playing Othello, a black man, and playing him as a black man in blackface? Why should that be any different? So there's pushback to that, and we'll get to that pushback on the other side of the break. And for me, I wish he had used a different example. But let's listen to the last clip where he's pushed about this very issue.
The question of representation and who is allowed to represent other groups. For example, as you said, somebody representing the Merchant of Venice. And the case of blackface explicitly in this country, given the history of slavery and the sensitivities around black racism, do you think there's a difference between those?
There shouldn't be.
Why?
Because it's patronizing, because it says that we're so fragile that we can't have our feelings hurt. We have to anticipate having our feelings hurt, our children's feelings. We don't know how to stand up and bop the bully in the face.
Mm. So is it a matter of bopping the bully in the face in all cases? What if David Duke, notorious anti-Semite former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, what if he was going to play the role of a Holocaust survivor? Would I have a problem with that? Oh, you better believe that I would. So that's the question. Where does one draw the line? And I want to speak, when we come back, in particular, to pastors, Christian leaders, educators. I want to speak as plainly as I can. Number to call to join in the conversation or to raise any question you want about the Bible, theology, culture, 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder and CEO of Trivita Wellness. I'm thrilled to join with you as listeners and donors in supporting Dr. Brown and the Line of Fire broadcast. Truly a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. I believe this voice must be heard across America. We need the bold and the courageous voice of the Line of Fire broadcast. I founded Trivita to help people like you experience greater wellness. Wellness is to have the vitality and the energy to support the things that you love to do and God's purpose for your life. To each day experience positive emotions of love and forgiveness, gratitude and acceptance, and to develop a relationship with God and know His purpose for your life. This is a life worth living. It is not a destination, but a journey. And I invite you to go on a wellness journey with me. Visit us at trivita.com or call and receive a free consultation on how we can help you support your wellness goals with quality nutraceutical products and lifestyle recommendations. And Trivita will give 100% of your first order to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast and will give more than a tithe on every order thereafter.
For a free consultation, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com to place your order for products to support your wellness goals. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. That number again is 1-800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. All right, I'm going to go back to my comments about cultural sensitivity versus cultural capitulation in a moment. But just wanted to talk to you for a split second, just briefly about your health. I've got this little issue I've got to deal with relating to a kidney stone. And, you know, kidney stone, when you actually look at the thing, if it was just on the ground somewhere, you wouldn't even find it, right? It's just like so tiny. But God made the body a certain way, right? He made the body a certain way. And when something, just a little thing is off, it can cause excruciating pain. It could mess up the whole body. And most of my life, until a little under 9 years ago, I ate unhealthily. I loved the Lord. I was serious about the gospel. I was disciplined in my unhealthy eating. In other words, I would only have a certain amount of unhealthy this every day and not everything I wanted to have every day. Still, I was putting on weight. I was obese. And my blood pressure became high and other things were not right. And God helped me make a radical lifestyle change a little under 9 years ago. And I've been reaping the benefits of it, rejoicing in new life, feeling like I'm getting younger every year, just blessed, mind sharp, and able to serve the Lord even more effectively and serve all of you more effectively. So I just want to encourage you to take good care of the body God gave you. I just want to encourage you to do that and to really think about it and, you know, ask yourself, hey, why don't we smoke cigarettes? Most Christians would say we don't smoke cigarettes. Why? Well, it's an addictive habit and it's destructive to the body, right? Well, the unhealthy foods we eat are more destructive to the body than cigarettes and even more addictive in terms of, because you have to have food every day. It's so easy to have unhealthy food. So just give it some thought. I don't want to lay a guilt trip on anybody. The last thing I would do is body shame, make you feel bad about yourselves in terms of, you may feel bad already and discouraged already. I don't want to heap anything on there in terms of negativity, all right? But, I do want to encourage you. God made the body amazingly well, and you really want to treat it right, and it will treat you right as you do. And then take advantage of these great wellness supplements with our friends at Trivita, our co-sponsors. Call 800-771-5584. Find out how these supplements can be a blessing in your own life. And then in turn, you'll bless our listeners because you'll help us get on new stations around America. You can also go to trivita.com, use the code BROWN25 for your discount, and to ensure that 100% of your first order will be donated back to the Line of Fire. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones, and then I'm going to share some more of my thoughts. Hey, Jack, where exactly are you in Texas, sir?
Rockwall,
all right. So how close is that to Dallas?
About 20 miles.
So are you able to get us on K-Word 100.7 FM?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Well, welcome, sir, to the broadcast. Good to talk to you. What are your thoughts?
I think that we have a risk of eventually segregating different ethnicities. I have an idea of, like, looking into the future, the Oscars and Academy Awards, and having people roped off by ethnicity. And it might seem kind of far-fetched, but I thought I'd just throw that out there.
So in other words, the more that we try to fix things, the more problems we might create in the process by now making everything a matter of race and ethnicity.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, Jack? For sure, we need to have difficult conversations about racial equality, about history. We have blind spots. You know, I've talked to many of my Black American friends, said, look, I've never been racially profiled as a white American. And I didn't have to have a talk with my daughters as they became teenagers and started driving about being racially profiled and how to treat police if you are racially profiled. So there are blind spots in my own experience, and my Black American friends have helped explain things to me. I've explained to non-Jewish friends about sensitivities, and when you say a certain thing, it can be perceived as insulting. On the other hand, when we overemphasize things, when we make everything a matter of race, yes, ethnicity, that's all you're thinking
right
about. When everyone you see is like, how are they viewing me? How am I viewing them? How are we? And it becomes unnatural. Yeah, so that's a concern. We want equality of opportunity, but how far do things go? Hey, Jack, I appreciate you weighing in. Thanks for the call.
Sure, thank you.
All right, 866-34-TRUTH. So let me say it again. For sure, we cannot be concerned about every last little, if I say this, someone's going to respond this way. If I say that, they're going to respond that way. And I'm consciously thinking about things as a minister, as I'm speaking to you on radio, right? Because radio is going to be a much more diverse audience than, say, a church audience or a Bible school audience or a seminary audience where I'm speaking, right? So I'm constantly thinking, when I say this particular thing, what does that mean in this particular culture? When I say this particular thing, what does it mean in this particular theological camp? Not to hamstring me, but to do my best to communicate clearly. At the same time, I understand that when I just speak my convictions, people will be offended. And by the way, you may be listening on one of our many great stations that we're on, and before me, after me, in the course of the day, someone with a very different emphasis, well, don't flip out over it. If we're all within the body, that's okay. And you can say, wow, I think Dr. Brown's really right here, and I definitely disagree with this other guy. Or I think this lady's terrific, and I think Dr. Brown has it wrong there. That's okay. We don't have to, like, flip out because we're all part of the same family. I'm saying if the fundamentals of the gospel are there. But again, when it comes to an acting role, all right, and I want to get back to sharing something very specific with Christian leaders, educators, and we'll take some more calls as well at 866-34-TRUTH. But what I want to say again is this. It is one thing to recognize that artistic expression is going to involve all kinds of different people playing all kinds of different roles, and they are acting, all right? And that's appropriate. It's understood. There are other things that in and of themselves would be offensive. And many historians of art and movies would say that the history of blackface in America is explicitly racist. So even if you have a role where it's just a for fun thing in a particular movie like Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy something, and I didn't know these scenes, just was researching for an article and for the show to look at some of this, you have things in history. You know, where the jazz singer fits is debated in terms of racism, etc. But without question, blackface has had a very specific racist history in America. And therefore, it is not hypersensitive to say, you know, if we can cast a black actor in this role rather than a white actor in blackface, let's do that, because there is a negative history here. And it's not being hypersensitive. It's not patronizing, as Richard Dreyfuss would say. And in point of fact, most of the pushback to his comments, And Dreyfus is not commenting as a conservative Bible-believing Christian either, just for the record. But most of the pushback to his comments is about the blackface issue. If he had just used different illustrations, for example, do you have to be a Jew to play the Merchant in Venice? Do you have to be Italian to play Christopher, or Spanish to play Christopher Columbus? Do you have to be American to play George Washington? But some of your favorite actors or actresses, you think they're American, they're actually British or Australian, but they just speak with a good American accent. Okay, that's one thing. And then to say you have to meet this certain quota, okay, that's overboard. On the other hand, there is cultural sensitivity we should have. That's why, again, what we emphasize here in the broadcast is grace and truth together, hearts of compassion and backbones of steel together. We will not bow to that which is politically correct if it means compromising the gospel, but we'll sacrifice things that we'd rather do for the sake of others in order to reach them with the good news. 866-34-TRUTH, back with your calls, and then some clear words to my friends in Christian ministry. Moms, dads, parents, students on the front lines, got some words for you when we come back. You can't resist us! Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard grace and truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message, and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, A Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war with Jesus by overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. By the way, I did something today which I've been planning to do for a while. I went to AskDrBrown.org. I clicked on Watch. So it's all the video resources we have. And then I scroll down to the end, the exclusive resources that we have for our torchbearers, for our monthly supporters. I was stunned by how much was there. I mean, it's like 20-something different classes that can be taken, from revival to healing to spiritual warfare to prayer to Jewish roots, for free for our torchbearers. And then scores and scores and scores and scores of TV shows that we did, answering questions and preaching and different things, available exclusively for our torchbearers. So when you become a torchbearer, be sure to check out everything that you have. If you've been supporting us Make sure you know about it, all right? And to join the support team, go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, click on Donate and then Monthly Support. But make sure you check out all the benefits because there's tons of stuff. We have more than I even realized, resources that we pour back into you. You can also call 800-538-5275, 800-538-5ASK to join our support team. All right, let's go over to Jess in Richmond, Virginia. What are your thoughts on this question about cultural sensitivity in Hollywood, et cetera?
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for having me. Really, I'm going to give an observation and then a perspective really, really briefly, if that's okay, then let you take over.
Sure.
So my observation is, you know, like we're talking about the Academy Awards, I think what you'll see is they're going to make themselves kind of obsolete. You remember, I mean, the faith-based movies, they were killing it in the box offices, making plenty of money. Whether they got awards or not, they were doing great. I think I'm not really even know about the movie business, but I think they're in there to make money. And if they're going to be able to make, they may not get the awards, and maybe the perspective of that changes. Kind of like when you saw the Nobel Peace Prize and was becoming kind of blatantly partisan, where people really kind of changed their idea of what it meant to get a Nobel Peace Prize. I think they're going to kind of make themselves eventually obsolete. That's my observation. The other perspective is, I think from the Christian messages, that's why it's so important to have, that's why the Christian and God is the one that is the only one that has the authority and the right to make moral law. It doesn't have to change or grow. It's perfect from the beginning. But also, you can look at all these different ever-changing moral standards, and they're contradicting. They never seem to stop changing. But the Christian message and the moral law that comes from God doesn't need to change because it's perfect. And it's also not contradicting. So that's my other perspective. So it's a great talking point to other fellow Christians about why the moral law that comes from God is so perfect.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Jess? If you look at films over the years that have been really dynamic money makers, many times it's the G-rated films and the PG-rated films, you know, the animated ones or the family ones, and they do really, really well. And then you'll have this exotic R-rated movie with some esoteric message that some Hollywood elite wants to get across, and it's a flop monetarily. Well, it's fine. I mean, let people be artistic. You know what I'm saying? Not everything has to be, okay, this just sells well. Obviously, especially as followers of Jesus, we understand it's not a matter of what sells, it's a matter of what's right and true. So in arts, let people have their expression, but if they want to get their finger on the pulse of what's happening, say, okay, the people you want to reach are really not into this or this or this. You know, Disney's learning that a lot. When Disney decides, a major purpose of what we're going to do is to educate kids about LGBTQ sensitivities, they're going to turn off a whole lot of people. You know, or Budweiser just reeling after saying, okay, we're going to have as a key spokesperson for us a man who identifies as a woman. It's like, we don't want that. Your average beer drinker, it's like, hey, we want to be politically correct as we're drinking beer. No, that's the last thing on most of their minds. So it is interesting. And then when you mention eternal truths, those remain true. And you can make a movie that doesn't have to be overtly Christian in every respect. Some should be, and that's their message, like Jesus Revolution movie. But there are others where you can get a point across morally. You can make a movie about courage. You can make a movie about virtues that are virtues in every generation. And they do have an impact, and they can be used as part of the larger influencing of hearts and minds. Hey, Jess, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 866-348-7884. So I would be offended if Richard Spencer, who is a known white supremacist, was an actor and was cast in the role of a Christian abolitionist fighting slavery in the 1800s in America. That would be offensive to me, all right? But if someone else was playing it and they're, you know, whatever, they're just they're not necessarily born-again Christian, but they're playing the role of a born-again Christian. They're playing the role, say, of Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, whatever. Right? You're not a Jew, but you're playing the role of a Holocaust survivor, but you're not an anti-Semite. Okay, whatever. That's not an issue. But History.com says this about blackface. The portrayal of blackface, when people darken their skin with shoe polish, grease paint, or burnt cork, and paint on enlarged lips and other exaggerated features, is steeped in centuries of racism. It peaked in popularity during an era in the United States when demands for civil rights by recently emancipated slaves triggered racial hostility. And today, because of blackface's historic use to denigrate people of African descent, its continued use is still considered racist. So when Richard Dreyfuss says we're so fragile that we can't have our feelings hurt, in general, I agree with what he's saying, that we have become like that. No, that hurts my feelings. You can't. Well, sorry, you're not doing well in the job. That hurts my feelings. As opposed to thank you for the input, I'll do better. Or why do you say that? I thought I was doing great. No, we have raised people. Everyone has to win. You have kids' sports games where it has to be a tie at the end because everybody has to win. You can't have any losers. That's not real life. That's not the way things work out in real life, and you're not preparing kids for real life in that respect. All right? At the same time, there are lines that should not be crossed because there are sensitivities. All right? And that's where we have to say, okay, I'm going to do what's right regardless of popular opinion. Let me say this plainly to those on the front lines of ministry, those on the front lines of the culture wars, those on the front lines of raising your kids in a hostile culture, those on the front lines of being students on campuses with hostile professors or hostile environments. You have to do what's right because it's right, not because of popularity. You have to stand for truth because it's true, not because it's going to gain you friends or increase your budget or anything else. The principle is if you save your soul, you lose it. If you lose your soul for the gospel, you find it. So what does that mean in practical speech? It means, let's say I'm a pastor, and I know it's really important to preach a series of messages about the purpose of marriage, what the Bible says about divorce, what the Bible says about remarriage, what the Bible says about sexual ethics, etc. You know it's really important. You're gonna dig deep. You're gonna talk about the wrongness of no-fault divorce. You're gonna talk about the negative effect that's had in the church and on the culture as a whole. You're gonna talk about porn and the destructive effect of porn, and talk about plainly about, hey, probably a lot of folks in the church are struggling, and here's how we're gonna help you, etc. You're gonna lay all these things out. But you know, if you do, it's important because people are hurting and there's confusion. And you're seeing now people just saying, well, we don't get along anymore. I think I married the wrong person. I want to get a divorce. You're seeing all that happening. And you say, okay, I need to start teaching, preaching on this. But if I do, I know that board member is going to be really sensitive because there's questions about the validity of his remarriage. You know, didn't he commit adultery? And isn't that the marriage that came out of adultery? And, you know, this other one, you know, his son is a porn addict and says, hey, I love Jesus. It's just my little weakness here. And if you hit on that, he's going to get upset. And he's a big giver. He underwrites a lot of the ministry. And that's how you're feeding orphans overseas and meeting the needs of missionaries on the front lines. You lose that money. You hurt them. There are a million reasons you can have. But the moment you back away from speaking the truth and doing what's right, for any other reason than the will of God, right? And the will of God is that we never back down from what's true and right. So when you back away from it, you lose your soul. Or you may have, quote, saved the ministry, saved the church, saved the budget. Well, you've really lost your soul, and you're hurting everyone in the process. Even though you didn't lose your soul in terms of eternal damnation, you've lost your soul in terms of your integrity, in terms of your courage, in terms of your faith, in terms of your fire. You have. And it's a plague. It's a plague. And worse still, you have Christian leaders that say, yeah, you do it like this, you do it like this, you kind of, You know, as one Christian leader said to me when I was pressing him about his views on homosexual practice, sometimes ministry preempts clarity. That's what he said, his exact quote to me. Sometimes ministry preempts clarity. No, ministry requires clarity. The more ambiguous we are, the less we help people. And they're going to find out soon enough, sooner or later, what we actually believe, where we actually stand. It's going to come out sooner or later. Might as well let it be sooner. I don't mean in an offensive, obnoxious, self-righteous way, nasty way, but speak the truth in love. So we don't bow down. If we lose our lives, we find them, meaning I'm going to do what's right. I may get cast out. I may get put out of the denomination. I may have to resign or be asked for my resignation. I may not be accepted into this program in the university. I might be kicked out of this country club. I have to do what's right. If you lose your soul, you're fine. Now you're free. And here's the best thing. You're with God. And if you're with God, that's all you need to know. And if he's with you, that's all you need to know. And I can testify, friends, 51 years in the Lord now. I've been far from perfect. I live by the mercy of God every day of my life. But I can tell you that he's helped me to stand for truth over the years. He's helped me to stand for things that I knew were right, and it's cost a lot. Number one, it's been absolutely worth it. And number two, God's opened more doors. God's brought in more supplies. That even though I lost a lot in certain ways, painfully, the favor and blessing of God poured in. And not only that, my wife Nancy, as immovable as I am, she's even more immovable when it comes to truth and righteousness. And that's helped even further steel my steely backbone already and further deepen my heart of compassion. So friends, let that be your goal. Hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. Cultural sensitivity, wisdom, by all means, listen. Let blind spots be filled in. When certain speech means a certain thing to large numbers of people you want to reach, okay, I didn't know that. Thank you for that. You're going to be more sensitive, but we never compromise our convictions for the sake of the crowd. Never. This is how we rise. Oh, it's our resistance. You can't resist us.
Have you had a setback from an injury, accident, or surgery that left you feeling weaker and a loss of strength? Or are you feeling the effects of aging and just don't feel like you have the stamina or energy you used to? Then MyoHealth might be an answer to your prayers. Backed by 24 human clinical studies and over $20 million in government-funded research, MyoHealth contains a perfect balance of all 9 essential amino acids. With MyoHealth, you can rebuild your strength, improve your balance and mobility, have more energy while restoring your health and vitality, and start building new, lean, stronger muscle in as little as 30 days. By combining MyoHealth with a healthy diet and regular exercise, you can feel stronger at any age, have more energy, and live a life with vitality. Put the power of MyoHealth to work for you.
I started working out consistently for the first time in years, and I've lost 50 pounds. I've been lifting weights, I've been swimming, and then the muscle mass, that's what really surprises me. I can't believe at my age, I'll be 73 this fall, my life has changed. I'm not the same anymore. MyoHealth changed my life, definitely, and I just thank God for it.
I would definitely recommend MyoHealth.
I'm sold on MyoHealth.
MyoHealth tastes great, and it helps me in the gym.
I feel like I've got my strength back.
My upper arms are tighter.
I have a great deal more energy.
I encourage anybody to try MyoHealth.
It really works.
Call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com to place your order for products to support your wellness goals. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I am going to give you some words of encouragement about our shepherd, our good shepherd, our great shepherd. This is Michael Brown. You are listening to The Line of Fire. I still have time to take some random calls on any random subject that relates to the broadcast. So give me a call, 866-348-7884. I may get to some calls before this hour is out. So over the weekend while praying, I was meditating on Psalm 23, memorized it decades ago in Hebrew, just meditating on the words. Most all of us are familiar with it. Many of us could quote it. Some of you in the church decades ago been out of church, but you could still quote it. I was just meditating on the words, Adonai ro'i lo echsar, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll lack nothing. And just going through it in Hebrew, verse by verse by verse, thinking about it, praying about it. And I was struck again by realities of God being the shepherd. And I just want to share a little insight with you that I found super helpful to me over the decades in my walk with the Lord. And it is this. It is the shepherd who is smart, not the sheep. In other words, the whole goal is to follow the voice of the shepherd. That's what sheep do. So have you ever heard someone say, yeah, my son, he's as smart as a sheep? Never heard that said. In fact, let's throw this B-roll up for those that are watching. I saw this video, and it's get ready to meet this sheep, Billy. And this is the smartest sheep in the world. And I tell you what, I would not go to a circus to watch Billy perform the things that he's performing on this little video. I guess for sheep, it's pretty impressive. But, you know, you have trained lions, tigers. All right, well, how about a trained dog? Have you ever seen, you know, what trained dogs can do? Or some of you train your dog to do all kinds of other things and respond to lots and lots of different words. And obviously cats are smart, but they're like, don't bother me. I'm not going to learn to do tricks. But, you know, really, you never hear someone say, wow, that kid's as smart as a sheep. And what can sheep do, say, with predators? What can sheep do with wolves? What can, nothing. They can't, they're going to tear you up with their teeth. They're going to maul you with their claws. No, they can't do any of that because they're just sheep. That's why they have a shepherd, and they're dependent on their shepherd. And and Psalm 23, so the Lord is our shepherd. John 10, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Hebrews 13 said, he's the great shepherd. So all my confidence is put in the shepherd of the sheep. All my confidence is put in him. And I know as his sheep that he says that his sheep know him and hear his voice. So it's through the word that he speaks and by the spirit that he speaks. It's ongoing in Greek. It's not just about salvation, that he knows how to communicate with us. And many times when I'm in difficult situations, I really don't know what to do. It's a crisis. It's a massive ministry decision to make. It's a dangerous situation. Do I walk into it or not? When I'm in over my head in a certain thing God's called me to do, it's like I don't have the resources or the capability of doing this. I'll remind him, I'm just a dumb sheep. Oh, yeah, we grow in knowledge in the word, and we should be wise in that respect. But compared to everything there is to know and all the uncertainties of the future and what God knows, I'm just a dumb sheep. What do I know? My whole hope, my whole confidence is in the shepherd. So one website I found, it says, despite the popular belief that sheep are stupid, and you can read this on my website, askdrbrown.org, or on the app, Ask Dr. Brown Ministries, ASK Dr. Brown Ministries. Just read latest article. One website claims, despite the popular belief that sheep are stupid, they're actually incredibly intelligent. They have very impressive cognitive ability, and just like humans, they form deep and lasting bonds with each other. They stick up for one another in fights, and they grieve when they lose a friend. They experience all the same emotions that we do, including fear, joy, boredom, anger, and happiness, to name a few. In addition to being incredibly smart, they also have wonderful memories. They can remember approximately 50 individual sheep and human for years at a time. All right, so they have the same emotions we do. Maybe this is a little bit too pro-sheep, this website. Another site says this. A sheep is about as intelligent as a cow. Whoever said, wow, you're as smart as a cow. Or other farm animals that have not got complex survival skills but can still navigate their surroundings using cognition. Sheep are not intelligent animals like wolves or dolphins. This is because they are overly reliant on shepherds for protection after millennia of domestication. Not overly reliant, entirely reliant. But that's us. So that's what I remind the Lord all the time. Lord, I'm just the sheep. You're the shepherd. You guide. I'll follow. Doesn't matter what the path, difficult, seems dangerous. If you say do it, I'm in, Lord. I know your voice. I'll follow. And if you say, I don't know the voice of God, I throw that back on the Lord too. Lord, it's your responsibility to communicate in the way that I understand. I'm not talking about if I never spend time with him. I'm not talking about if I'm never in the word. I'm not talking about if I'm living in willful rebellion, rejecting the written word, rejecting the voice of the Spirit and thinking, well, he's obligated to speak to me. No, he's not. But I'm talking about if you love the Lord and you're trying to honor him and serve him and you're spending time with him, Lord, I'll follow. I'm just asking you to speak clearly. And sometimes it's like, I hear that gentle whisper. He might be shouting to us, right, so to say, but I hear that gentle whisper. My trust is in the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. That's my trust. Let me just read these words to you from Jesus, Yeshua. I am the good shepherd, from John 10. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the one. That's the one we follow. And as you follow him, you'll be blessed. You may go through challenging times, but he'll be with you during them, and in the end, you will be blessed. All right, let me go to Susan in Orlando, Florida. You are on the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question for you. I've researched your whole site and all your videos, and it's been since about 2017 since I noticed that you... what version of the Bible you recommend, and if you recommend a study Bible.
Ah, okay. So in terms of versions of the Bible, the major contemporary Christian versions, be it the NIV or the ESV or the NASB, the major ones, if you want Jewish roots, Tree of Life, they're all excellent translations. I could critique every one in different ways, right?
Okay.
You know, in other words, every scholar is going to have a gripe with a verse or an expression, or find one is better than another in certain ways. But the major, if someone loves the King James, either the New King James or the MEV, any of these are good. If someone has maybe English as a second language and they need something just a little bit more readable than the NLT. But the NLT is a mild paraphrase. It conveys things beautifully, but I would not recommend that as the first Bible, except for someone that maybe English is a second language or their own English level is not quite as good. And there's a major project I'm working on. I can't talk about it yet. Hopefully in a year now from now, I'll be able to talk about it more. Is there a particular study Bible I recommend? No, all the major ones have, you know, just the ESV study Bible, the NIV study Bible, the NASB study Bible, where they have their own particular sets of notes. You know, Open Bible was another one. They're all valuable. If someone's looking for a particular aspect of things, like say, I'm like really interested in cultural background. Well, there's the Cultural Backgrounds Study Bible. Or I'm looking like for objections to the faith, but there's an apologetic study Bible, right? I'm looking for charismatic emphasis. There's the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. So what I found, though, as I've looked at these, they're all good in their own way. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That each of them has a particular purpose. The key thing with any study Bible is always to remember that the notes are not inspired the way the text is. And
right.
You want to wrestle with the text first and then look at the notes secondarily. Now, if you want something online to really dig into the why and the how of a translation, then use the NET Bible. So netbible.org, the New English Translation. And that has over 60,000 translation notes. Some of them very, very technical, some of them more simple, explaining here's why we translate the Hebrew this way, here's why we translate the Greek this way, here's where there's a variant in text. So that's freely available online, netbible.org. And when you use that, you'll find just on the translation level, lots and lots of useful information. And I've even used that when doing commentary work, found, hey, here's a good little summary of the discussion here. But some of it's very technical, some less so. So you get out of it whatever you can. So those are, again, someone could call and say, how could you recommend this verse, that verse? You know, there's always going to be questions about it. On the website, AskDrBrown.org, or the app, AskDrBrown Ministries, just check translations. You get a lot more data. But Susan, that's my summarial answer. Hey, friends, be blessed. Back with you tomorrow. It's our resistance. You can't resist us.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.